Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The other right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
And the wolf is at your door.
This episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast may contain descriptions of acts of violence or that of a sexual nature and should be for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off of the internet or from some television show. The facts I'm retelling you were presented to me by the victims of the crimes or the perpetrators who committed the crimes against the victims. My descriptions of the crime scenes, what I saw with my own two eyes. If you're going to get offended, please turn this podcast off now. Thank you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Woody Overton. Y'all, this is going to be a quick add-on to my probably my all-time favorite kind of funny and serious episode, which is Duty on the 4th. And y'all know I don't work on Christmas Eve, Christmas, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, Good Friday or Easter weekend, Memorial Day weekend for obvious reasons, and 4th of July, Happy Birthday, America. But so every year I re-release Duty on the 4th, and it's just a fucking, it's the worst time to be a cop. I'm telling you, those long weekends like this weekend, look, you're getting this on Saturday. The patrons, you're going to get it on Thursday or Friday. Patreon convicts and Apple subscribers. And if you're not one of those and you want to become one, you can go to the Real Life Real Crime Community app, become a convict. There's a bunch of different tiers. You can do it through Patreon. Go to patreon.com/reallifereallcrime, or when go to Apple and you can subscribe. But the you get, you know, commercial free early releases on each episode, and you get bonus episodes and all kinds of shit. But anyway, the last year there were like 120 something shootings and 28 deaths, mass shootings in the United States on the 4th of July weekend. And then I'm going to tell you why. Like I tell you on this episode, Duty on the 4th, it's fucking hot and people start partying early on the weekend. This year it's on a Thursday. Oh, I wouldn't want to be a cop come Sunday, or any of it probably. But it's hot. People are drinking. They're having a good time. And as the weekend wears on, they continue in assholes will be assholes, and it all comes out. And I'm not just talking about the murders, y'all. I'm talking about the fucking rapes and the car crashes. Oh, God. Car crashes. And look, if you're out there drinking and driving this weekend, the feds, I don't know why I haven't said this before, the feds give every small agency or every police department, or they used to, and sheriff's office and small town departments, what they call LACE. And I don't know what the fucking acronym stands for, but it's a federal grant for them to go out and write tickets on that weekend for DWIs and shit like that. So don't do it, people. Get somebody else to drive you, catch an Uber or something. Because if you get locked up, you're probably not seeing the judge till next week. But the wrecks, the fist fights, the stabbings, it just goes through the roof. And if it's a full moon, don't want any part of it. But it's the worst. I mean, you would think it's New Year's Eve and shit. It's just not. 4th of July is the worst holiday for a cop. So to all my brothers and sisters wearing the badge, stay safe this weekend. Hey, even the correction officers. I mean, all my brothers and sisters. Look, when I worked in the Department of Corrections, you didn't want to work on the 4th of July. And you didn't want to work on a full moon. And it's hot in that motherfucker. And people just lose their minds. But real quick, I want to tell you about something I didn't know about over 80-something years ago. Check this out. At about 5 p.m. on Thursday, July the 4th, 1940, a bomb explodes at the New York's World's Fair, right? I remember when the World's Fair came to New Orleans in 1984, but this one was in Flushing, Queens, and instantly it killed two New York City police detectives. Told you, it's a bad time to be a cop. And it wounded five other men, two more of them critically. The New York's World Fair, which ran from April 1939 to October 1940, and took it as its theme, Building the World of Tomorrow, attracted over 45 million visitors over its two seasons and made it the best attended event in the first half of the 20th century. That's the most people ever, right? But the bomb was packed in a small canvas satchel and had been removed from the British Pavilion an hour and a half earlier and taken to an open area at the edge of the fairgrounds. Now, attempting to determine whether it actually held a bomb, one detective cut a small strip from the satchel, revealing sticks of dynamite inside. And it seconds later, it blew up. Balls on that motherfucker, right? Rest in peace, brother. That's crazy. But that satchel, an electrician in that same building where it was taken out of had noticed the satchel on Wednesday, the day before, and assumed it had been left by a fellow worker. But he saw it again on Thursday afternoon, and he could hear a faint ticking noise. And this is according to the New York Times. He carried the ticking satchel, and he has balls, through the crowded building to his boss's office, after which the two of them brought it to the pavilion's head of security, whose office happened to be in the Magna Carta room, where a priceless copy of a, I don't know what this is about. Anyway, but they brought it to his office, and he in turn called his boss for a listen. Now, can you imagine all these dudes standing around in a satchel just going tick, 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 tick? And of course, bombs weren't prevalent like they are now. But in retrospect, they say, in the this is from the History Channel, y'all. Retrospect, they say the lack of urgency seems surprising. The pavilion had received an anonymous bomb threat earlier in the week, because these assholes like to claim their shit. And the police had assigned detectives to circulate among the crowds of visitors there. In addition, England was at war with both Germany and Italy, each of which has sympathizers and possibly saboteurs in the still neutral United States. In the coming days, police questioned more than 100 possible suspects, including members of fascist and pro-Nazi groups. They also began, well, I'm going to skip you on all that. Now, y'all, The case is cold as fuck. To this day, it's unsolved. A little 4th of July history. I love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. If you're getting this after the 4th, hopefully you're still getting it before the weekend's over. Maybe you're on your ride back from the beach or whatever. Stay safe in the traffic. Stay safe on the beaches. Stay safe with the fireworks. And stay safe with the alcohol and swimming. Whatever. Stay safe. I love y'all. And again, you're the best fans in the world. Bar none. Hands down. Thank you for your thoughts and prayers to get me through my sickness. I'm never going to ask you to do anything again, like vote for, on the awards and stuff like I do every year, because you already gave me life. And I love y'all. LOPA, Louisiana Oregon Procurement Agency. It's at the end of the 4th of July episode. And I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. And until next time, or ever, don't let me catch you down on Murder Bayou. Peace. Happy 4th of July. Happy birthday, America. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. And as always, I'm your host, Woody Overton. And y'all know what time it is. It's 4th of July time, America's birthday, right? We don't work on that day. A couple days a year that we just don't do it, and that is Thanksgiving, because of family, and Christmas Eve, Christmas, and because of Jesus, and over the holiday season, whatever you believe in, doesn't matter to me. But and then New Year's Day, and then Easter, because again, the significance, or Passover, whatever you celebrate. And then on the 4th of July, don't do it because, or Memorial Day. And that's, you know, we have pretty strong beliefs about these things, and I'm a patriot through and through, a veteran and everything else. And so we're not going to be releasing a regular episode, but every year I release the same episode. I mean, because it was one of my most famous early episodes that I ever did, and it's called Duty on the 4th, and it tells about a night that I remember experiencing on, specifically on the 4th of July and 4th of July weekend, which are the worst, the absolute worst time to be in uniform patrol, period, in law enforcement. Anyway, so during the story, and I know, well, we have so many new lifers who may not have heard it, but for those of you who have, I'll go ahead and give you the update, and the rest of you, you can listen to it, and you already know what happened to these people, but you won't know all the details. So let's start with the first one, the guy that I got in a fight with that I almost had to shoot, and at the last second, I did what I did to get out of the situation. You can go listen to it. But I told you that he had dug his nasty ass claws into my face. And so I want you, maybe I'll post it on social media. If you ever meet me in person, I can show you the scar on my nose. I'm touching it right now to this day, where his, I think it was his biggest finger, his middle finger, he had all five of his fingers dug into my face. So I still carry that scar, and that's been like 23 years ago. But you wouldn't notice if I didn't point it out to you. And I have no idea what happened to that dude. I can't imagine that he's not in prison or didn't die in prison. He was probably in his 30s then. He was probably my age, so he's got to be my age now. If he's alive, don't know. That kid involved in that story is shit. Got to be how old we were back then. Take to the next one. I tell you what, I'm just going to give you a couple. I told y'all about meeting Leon Winstead, or Albany Police 4, who ended up being one of my best friends. Leon didn't have to. He was a reserve officer, and he didn't have to do it. He did it because he loved it, because he worked on the tugboats on the river, and he had a lot of time off every month, but he loved doing cop work. And anyway, we ended up being living next door to each other, and just the best guy in the world. And I stood as the best man in his wedding to Miss Beautiful Miss Flo. And he's involved in this story. It's one of the many stories I talk about him in over the years on Real Life Real Crime. But that was when we were chasing the twins, right? All night, all fucking night long. And go listen to it. You can get the details. But it's Johnny and Johnny. And I got a message from, I won't say who because I want to get her in trouble, that I got a message from someone who said, "Hey, Woody, you're not going to." Now, Johnny and Johnny were the dumbest box of rocks. And I'm not being ugly. They were just dumb, okay? And I mean, like on a whole new level of dumb. But somebody messaged me and told me they had direct knowledge that one of them got killed in Hammond, Louisiana. Supposedly, he was doing something when a train was coming by. I don't know if he's putting someone on the track to like flatten a coin or something. And he bent down to pick it up and the train was running. They don't slow down when they go through town, y'all. That's why they have to honk their horns and shit. And he bent down and didn't see that one of the cars that was coming had one of those ladders off the side, and the ladder decapitated him. Yeah. There you go, right? I mean, I don't know how you don't see a fucking ladder coming at your head, whatever, but it wasn't a suicide because there were some other people that were with him. He was doing something stupid. I don't know, crushed a beer can, just something totally irrelevant. And the ladder caught him and ripped his head off. Who else in the story? The other ones, I don't know. The boys who died in the truck that night, man, that was bad. That one still, and I passed that. I passed that spot, and that tree that they wrapped that truck around is still there, and it still has the damage on the tree from where the truck hit it sideways. And I think they estimate the truck left the road like 140 some miles an hour. And to this day, that tree's massive. I'm talking about like 10 feet massive around, and you can see the damage. Well, I can see it because I know what was there, the damage where that truck was and where I held that boy up. But anyway, happy 4th of July to y'all. Next week, back for a hardcore original episode. I hope you all get all your hamburgers and hot dogs. And I think I'm going to cook a brisket or something. Maybe go fishing. Hope you at the beach drinking an umbrella drink and all that. I love and appreciate each and every one of you. Patreon members, convicts, Apple subscribers. I love y'all. I hope you're enjoying your commercial-free early releases of the episodes and your bonus episodes, which I just locked up another one called I Don't Remember last week. So if you binged all original Real Life Real Crime and you want some more, you can go to the Real Life Real Crime community app and subscribe to be a convict. It's all the same thing, y'all. Or you can go to Patreon and look at the different tier levels there and choose your benefits. Or when you can sign up through Apple Podcasts now. But anyway, I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. Happy 4th of July. Happy birthday, America. And until next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on Murder Bayou. Peace. So we're going to start today's episode, which is titled Duty on the 4th. Now, 4th of July is America's birthday, right? Everybody loves the 4th of July. You have barbecue and swimming and fireworks and parades, and it's America's birthday, right? Great time. Summertime, kids are out of school, everybody gets off of work, and it's just a big hoorah for everybody, that is, except for law enforcement. Now, I'm going to tell you a couple of stories of what happened to me when I worked uniform patrol, or you can call it criminal patrol, on the 4th of July. The 4th of July, y'all, is by far the worst day of the year or night of the year to work as a law enforcement professional. All right. Now you would think it would be New Year's Eve or something like that, but no, it's not. Believe me, the fourth is the worst, and it's really bad when the fourth falls on a weekend, especially like on a Sunday or Monday, either way. It's because people start partying on Friday when they get off, and then they party Saturday, and then by the time Sunday comes, you know, you just have more fights and disturbances, and it's just crazy.
Hey, y'all. One thing I've learned in 16 years of being with my wife is that PMS and menopause are a very real deal. Thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hey, do you experience cravings or bloating? Do you feel a little bit down or off? Do you struggle to find comfort in your body? Do you experience bad sleep quality? Well, now it's easier to manage PMS and menopause with Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, promotes healthy weight loss, and curbs carb cravings. It improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas, and it relieves hot flashes, and it relieves mood swings. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through premenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, and Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold, like hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, and occasional bloating and gas, or no desire to be intimate with someone, you know, if you know what I mean. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar, is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, my wife says, is feeling like herself again. And that's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code RLRC at checkout. That's HAPPYMAMMOTH.com and use the code RLRC for 15% off today. Hey, y'all. Changing my wardrobe from summer to fall? Hey, it's never easy. Luckily, Quince offers timeless and high-quality items I adore, ensuring my wardrobe stays fresh and I don't blow my budget. And there's nothing easier than going to Quince and choosing these high-quality items, like cashmere sweaters from $50, pants for every occasion, washable silk tops, and so much more. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, and I love that. Look, I got the stainless steel Link Apple Watch band for $59.90, and it's heavy duty, it's awesome, and it's like $100 less than I could find anywhere else. And I also got 100% organic cotton fisherman quarter zip-up sweater. The color is alabaster. Man, I can't wait to wear that dude out this fall. And Cindy got the Mongolian cashmere boat neck sweater and heather gray. And I'm telling you, these are classic pieces at a fraction of the price. Make switching seasons a breeze with Quince's high quality closet essentials. Go to quince.com/RLRC for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/RLRC to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/RLRC. You'll thank me later.
So I'll tell you, way back when, and I don't remember what year it was, but this is my vivid memory of 1 4th of July. And I was working uniform patrol for the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office. And I was working the night shift from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning. Now, generally, I would go 10-8 or on duty about 20 minutes early every day at about 5:40 p.m. so the day shift could get home and they didn't have to catch any last minute 911 calls or anything like that, and they could get home at a decent time. So we went 10-8 from our houses or our residences, and 10-8 is on duty or in service. And that's because we were so spread out at such a big parish, and we didn't have roll calls or anything like that. But we'd probably do that like once a month. We'd meet up at the sheriff's office before shift and go over things that needed to be discussed, et cetera. But other than that, we went literally walked out your door and got in your unit, and you went 10-8 on the radio, and that's it. So that day, and it was hot, and y'all look, July, I think that's part of the problem with 4th of July is the heat. It's hot. I walk outside. I always would go out and turn on my unit, let it start to cool off, and then go back in and put my gun belt on. So I go out there, and it must be 150 degrees inside the car, turn it on, kick the AC full blast, roll the windows down, let some of the heat out, and I go back inside. By the time I get back inside, I'm already covered in sweat. Any memory you have on a uniform, boots, vest, and then you put on the heavy gun belt with your pistol, your baton, or as it was called, an ASP, A-S-P, it's an expandable baton, your freeze plus P, your radio, two pairs of handcuffs, two extra magazines for your duty weapon. I mean, and then it's this big belt, right? I mean, it's so big that you have to use belt retainers to lock it on over your belt that goes through the belt loops on your pants. Anyway, I put the gun belt on and go outside, climb in the unit, call on the radio. I say 361-259-108, what you got holding. And the radio came back, 259-361. We have a 103D 911 call in French Settlement. I said, all right, 10-4, 10-8 en route. And so what that means is there was a domestic violence disturbance call that came in 911. Now, I lived in Albany, and I was about 25, 30 minutes away from French Settlement, which is in the very extreme southern part of the parish. And it takes that long to get there because the road through the southern end of the parish, Louisiana Highway 22, follows the river and the waterway, and there's like probably 15 90 degree turns that you can only go like 15 miles an hour around. So I called back. I knew it was going to take me a while, and I called back. I said 361-259. What's the status on the 911? And it came back. Said 259-361. It's code 4 at this time. Wife advises that the husband has passed out, so it's code 4 at this time, meaning everything's okay. So I'm like, okay, I don't have to really rush, right? So I took my time getting down there, and it was on a street I'd never been on before. And I turned on the street, and there's like six trailers to the left side of this little gravel road. And I'm pulling down, looking for the address on the trailer. And it didn't take long for me to figure it out, because as I'm pulling up, I see this woman come running up, and she's screaming and jumping up and down, waving her hands. So I pull up and I jump out on her, and I look at her, and she's beat to shit. Her mouth is bloody. Her lips are busted. Her eyes swollen shut. But she's screaming. I mean, we're close to the trailer, right? It's my unit, me, then her. And it's not 15 feet to the door. It's a little bit of a small trailer, single wide, to the door on the other side of her. And she's screaming frantically. She's like, he's got my baby. He's got my baby. He's going to kill it. He's got my baby. You got to get my baby. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I said, hold on. I said, they told me that your husband was passed out. And at the same time I said that, the front door kicks open, and there stands this guy. And I'm going to describe him to you. And I'm a pretty big guy, right? 6'2". And he must have been 6'5", 6'6", maybe a little bit more. I don't know. But he was tall, and he didn't have a shirt on. And he was skinny but muscular. but long, nasty-ass hair, beard. I think he had on, like, camouflage shorts and no shoes and, you know, covered in tats. And he's standing there, but I'll never forget it. He's holding this kid, and when I say kid, I mean, I really mean like a toddler, probably a year and a half old, is holding it underneath its arm like it's a rag doll. And, you know, the kid's screaming, and he's holding it in his right hand. He's hollering and starts hollering at me, "You get the fuck out of here, you motherfucker." And he's waving the kid like a rag doll. And I'm like, and then he goes back in and he shuts the door. I'm like, fuck that. So I immediately, without thinking, I mean, I didn't call it in or anything. I ran in after him, right?
The latest and greatest can always be found at Weiler Plastic Surgery. We're excited to introduce Elacor, a brand new device that tightens skin without scarring. Get the visible results you've been wanting without surgery. Schedule your Elacor consultation today.
And I threw the door open, and he's standing right there. And it's a little bitty living room with a love seat right to her right and a wall over the hallway to the left and went back to the bedroom. And then there's a small wall, which would have been to his right hand side, and with the same arm the kid's in. And there's a kitchen on the other side of that. So he's, you know, I come in after, I'm like, dude, just, you know, give me the kid. And he swung at me with his left hand because the kid was in his right hand. And to this day, I don't know what happened to the baby. I mean, because it all happened so fast, but I think the mama must have caught the baby, or that he dropped the baby. I don't remember. But I know that baby wasn't involved in what happened next. And when he swung with the left hand, it was a tight area. I ducked to my right and I was able to miss his swing, but his fist hit my shoulder mic. Now, shoulder mics back then, our microphones ran from the radio on our gun belt, on your duty belt, up to your shoulder. Mine was always on my left shoulder. And I would have to reach over and press the button and turn my head to the left to talk into it. It was clip to your shoulder on a lapel on the uniform on the top of the shoulder. Say he swings with his left, I duck, and he hits my shoulder mic and knocks it off. And then it was on. The fight was on. I don't know what happened to the baby, but the fight was on. All this defensive tactics and all the stuff they teach you in the police academy on how to take people down and do palm heel strikes and all the straight arm bar takedowns and all break wheel stuns and all that bullshit goes out the window when somebody's swinging on you in your face. And I closed the distance on him and tried to grab him. And it was hot in the trailer too. It was hot and it stunk. And I tried to grab him and he's all sweaty. And so I couldn't really get a hold on him. And evidently he had his other hand free because he started punching me. And as I tucked my head into his chest, I flipped him to our right and we flipped over that love seat and went down on the floor and landed on top of the coffee table. And then shit, it was just on. It was Fist City at this time. And I heard my dispatcher call 361 or UCO 4. I had the best dispatchers in the world. They knew me and they knew if I didn't respond that Sugar had turned to shit and they better send the cavalry, right? So Tammy Forbes was the dispatcher that day, and she's deceased now. What a sweetheart and a hell of a dispatcher. But she said, 361, are you code 4? And I didn't respond because I'm on the floor now in a fist fight. So we're rolling up against this table and rolling back and forth, and we're swinging on each other, literally punching each other. And he was stronger than me. And plus he was higher than hell. I think he was on meth. I hit him as hard as I could and didn't even faze him. Right. I'm trying not to let him get on top of me. And then I hear the radio again, 361. Are you code 4? And of course I can't answer it. I'm fighting and he gets the best of me. He gets on top of me. And when he gets on top of me, he's sitting on my waist, straddling me. And he's sitting on my freeze plus P. And y'all, freeze plus P is like mace on steroids, right? Very effective after about 45 seconds in helping to control somebody because it involuntarily makes their eyes shut and it makes them feel like they can't breathe, et cetera. And you've heard me talk about it in other stories, but So these are my options. Dude's on top of me. He's raining down punches. I've got my hands up trying to block the punches, et cetera, and still trying to grab hold of his arms. And he comes down with his right hand, and I'll never forget it. And I have a scar on my nose to this day, the tip of my nose. If you ever meet me, you can look at it and see it. He had these long ass dirty fingernails, and he came down with his right hand and he dug it into my face, and his middle finger. I'm sorry, I was messing up the mic because I'm recreating it right now with my own hand. His middle finger dug into the bridge of my nose, and then the other two fingers were on into my cheeks and cheekbones on the either side of my nose, and his hands on my face, and he's pinning my head back. And at this point, I'm trying to get that hand off of me, and he's still raining down punches with his other hand. And I'm like, holy shit. And I'm thinking, I can't get to my freeze and I can't get him off of me. I mean, he's higher than fuck on whatever. And he's got me and I can't let him beat me until I pass out. And I'm going to have to kill him because I was still able to get my hand on my weapon. And all this is happening in like milliseconds, right? In instant process. And I'm like, I know this dude is going to knock me out. He's got me pinned now, and he's got his claws literally sunk into my face, and he's beating the shit out of me. And I'm thinking, this is it. And I was reaching for my pistol, and I was going to have to pull my pistol and kill him. And it just clicked in my head. I'm looking into his claw that his thumb was on the right side of my face. The other three fingers are dug in. His thumb's on the right-hand side. As I'm reaching for my pistol, at the last second, I hear the radio team says, all units 1033, TAC 2 for 361. All units respond to 361's location. And she gave the address. Well, that means nobody could talk in case I need to do an emergency broadcast. And for everybody to come, because it was bad, right? Sugar had turned to shit. And it really had. I thought I was going to have to kill him. But that last second, as I'm reaching for my pistol, that thumb is right there, and I reached up, and I bit that son of a bitch. I tried to bite it off. I bit down as hard as I could, and they say down in the swamp, we have snapping turtles or loggerhead turtles, and they say if a loggerhead turtle ever bites you, it'll never let go until the next time it hears thunder, and I bit down on this son of a bitch, and I knew I was still reaching for a pistol, and I knew if this didn't work, if I couldn't get his hand out of my face, him to stop hitting me, I was going to have to kill him. So I bit down on that thumb, and I bit it down to the bone, and I tried to bite that fucker off. And that pain evidently was enough for him to check himself for even just for a few seconds. I mean, when the pain hit him, I'm talking about I'm literally down on the bone, trying to bite through the bone and bite his whole thumb off. And he screams and he takes his hand out of my face and I won't let go. Right. And then he's trying to hit me with his other hand, but I'm just down on the thumb. And then I was able to get the upper hand and the fight was on again, except for this time I transferred from my duty weapon to my freeze plus P and I was able to get it out and I never let go of his thumb. And he was hitting me on the back of my head. But I was able to get the freeze plus P out and start spraying. Well, fortunately, I had been trained in freeze plus P many, many times, sprayed with it in the training, and then I had fought in it so many times. And if you heard the episode in the closet, you know, anytime you use a freeze plus P, especially when you're in close contact like that, you're going to get some of it also. But I didn't get it as bad as this cat did. I was just emptying the whole can on him. And he let go because it takes about 30 or 45 seconds. It starts burning immediately. But then after about 30 seconds or so, your eyes just involuntarily shut. You can't open them. You physically can't do it. Then the freeze plus P, which is basically tear gas plus pepper spray. The freeze plus P starts to take away your breath and makes you feel like you're drowning and that you can't breathe. But at this time, I'm fucking exhausted, right? I'm sweaty. I've been beat on. And I'm really glad they didn't have mixed martial arts. When I was a kid, these MMA fighters, the UFC stuff, because I probably would have done it. I used to do a lot of boxing, but if you've ever been in a fight like that, 3 minutes seems like 300 years, especially when you're on the bottom end getting your ass whipped by a meth head that's all tweaked out. And so a spray, and at some point, another unit arrives, John T. Wilkerson, my road buddy and my academy buddy, got there, and he dives in also. And then another unit arrived, and by unit, I mean another officer arrived, and they came running in, and he dived in. Now, look, it's hard to handcuff someone that doesn't want to be handcuffed. And you add in the fact that it was like 110 degrees inside this trailer. This dude's got no clothes on. So every time you touch his skin, your hands are sliding with the sweat. The whole room is full of freeze plus pee, and everybody's breathing it. But although this dude got the worst of it, and it was still a fight until the freeze plus pee kicked in enough where he felt like he couldn't breathe. And then he started freaking out a little bit, and somehow we were able to get him in cuffs. Well, we get him out of the trailer. They called for an ambulance because I'm covered in blood and I'm bleeding from my face, from my nose, and from my cheeks, but he's bleeding like a stuck pig. But I had blood in my mouth and had gone all down my chin onto my shirt from biting his damn thumb off, or trying to. And the ambulance comes, and I told him, I said, y'all got to get this fucker to sign a waiver that he doesn't want to go to the hospital, or one of us is going to have to sit at the hospital all night, or it may be a day until they release him, and then we're going to have to book him. So medics came, and one of them came to me, and they were cleaning me up, and I told him, I'm more worried about catching AIDS from this fucker or some other disease that doesn't even have a name known to man yet, right? Nasty ass. But I definitely had his blood in my mouth, and I definitely had his claw marks on my face and all that. And so they were cleaning me up. And meanwhile, they were working on him, and they bandaged his thumb up the best they could and wrapped it up good. And they were like, just tell it. John T was like, sir, do you need to go to the hospital? Do you need to go to the hospital? And the guy was like, fuck you, motherfucker. Fuck you. And it's like, that's good. But he refuses, and I'll sign for him since he can't write because his hand's injured. To wrap the scene up, the wife had to seek medical attention, and we had to wait for somebody to come and get the kid. And then John T took the dude and booked him for me for the domestic violence, and then a good felony charge. Well, he had a 108, which is resisting an officer. And then we charged him with a felony charge of second degree battery. Now, second degree battery is pretty much like attempted murder in the state of Louisiana, because a battery is an unwanted touching. Now, Louisiana is under the Napoleonic Code of Law. So our battery and assault is exact opposite of how it is in the rest of the United States, where you have, outside of Louisiana, if you punch somebody, that's an assault, right? And then if you threaten someone, it's a battery. Well, inside the state of Louisiana, it's reverse. The battery is the hitting or the striking, and the assault is the actual threat. So I charged him with second degree battery, which is a serious felony. And what escalates from simple battery, which is unwanted touching, and it is a misdemeanor, it's just a regular hit. What escalates that to second degree battery is if you lose consciousness from the hit, if you suffer extreme pain, or you get scarred, or you have to seek medical attention as a result of the hit or hits or blow or blows. And I had to seek medical attention for my face. And even though it wasn't much, right? But still, it's a good felony charge. And that piled on top of everything else, he got the resistings and the domestic violence, et cetera. I just want to make sure that asshole wasn't getting out of jail. And so John Laudermill showed up. He was supervisor at the time. And he was like, fuck that. You know, get his ass to the jail and we'll deal with him later. And I still had to write the initial report on it, but I was going to do that later. And he was more concerned about me, John was. But I told him, I said, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, he just dug his claws into my face and they cleaned it up and put some bandages on it. But I had to go back the 30 minutes home to change uniforms. John wanted me to take off. And I was like, dude, there's no way. It was 4th of July weekend. And he's like, you're right. He said, I really do need you. But if you don't feel like it, he said, don't come back out. And I said, well, I'm going to go home and change and I'll get back 10-8. So leave that scene. And the calls are popping, y'all. I mean, it's, you know, disturbance after disturbance and medical emergencies, people getting burned with fireworks. I'm listening to all this on the way back to my apartment. Get back to the apartment, I shower and change in uniforms, and I go back 10-8.
Hey, y'all, you want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with the subject? Is your child ahead, not getting challenged enough in class? Well, IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to become curious and empowers them to choose how to learn. Look, we homeschool our son. No doubt about it. He's more of a visual learner, and we use IXL, and Cindy teaches him, and there are so many different benefits to the program. It adapts to exactly what he needs in different areas. So IXL is the perfect supplement to your homeschool curriculum. IXL offers interactive practice problems, educational games, lessons, and video tutorials for every topic you're teaching at home. It's easy to use, time-saving. Everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you're covering. IXL offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. Kids can explore any topic in any grade level. They aren't forced into a single learning path like they are on other programs. If you're homeschooling your child because they were falling behind or because they were too far ahead like our son, IXL is a great program to help them get the exact support they need. Kids love IXL's positive feedback awards and educational games. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Real Life Real Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. And don't forget, Real Life Real Crime listeners get 20% off. Y'all, we really do use this product, and it's been a godsend. Hey, y'all, let me tell you about Mochi. Mochi is a telehealth platform that connects patients seeking medication-based weight loss treatment with board-certified doctors and dietitians to help them determine the best treatment options to accomplish that goal. Mochi's program is completely virtual, meaning you can access their services anywhere in the United States and you will be meeting with their team online. You deserve doctors that listen. Mochi is dedicated to providing holistic, patient-centered care that prioritizes overall well-being with the goal of transforming how weight management is approached. Mochi Health takes a holistic approach to weight loss that includes visit with board-certified doctors, nutrition consultations, and medications delivered to your door. Science-backed medications including GLP-1s like Ozempic and generic compound versions, affordable and accessible, regardless of insurance coverage. With Mochi, their dietitians work hand-in-hand with your medication to create personalized nutrition plans that fit your lifestyle. Reach your weight loss goals with science-backed, FDA-approved GLP-1 medications and support from real doctors and guidance from registered dietitians and help with making easy and sustainable changes to achieve results. Y'all have seen this. My wife has done it. My brother-in-law has done it. One of my best friends is doing it, and it really is an amazing process that works. So get started at joinmochi.com and use code RLRC to receive $40 off. That's join, JOINMOCHI.com and use code RLRC to receive $40 off and let Mochi help change your life.
Now, on the east side of the parish, a lot of times you were working by yourself, just like I responded to that 911 call by myself because there were only a couple of us. If you were lucky, you had three on duty on the east side of the parish, but most of the time it was just two of us. So what was so important for us were the town units, Livingston Police Department, the Albany Police Department, and the Springfield Police Department, and Killian Police Department when they had somebody out. So a lot of times the town units were our closest backup to go in on hot calls. So anyway, I get dressed, put my shit back on, get back on the radio, 361-259-108, and immediately, 361, we have 911-103D at Johnny and Johnny's. And I was like, oh, fuck, that's the last thing I need. Now, let me tell you about Johnny and Johnny. They were identical twins. I think they were like 18, 19 years old, but we dealt with them almost every week. And they lived at the end of a really narrow dead-end street in the, I guess you would call it a rural hood, right? There were houses packed tight together, but then it's woods all the way around it. I mean, I'd arrested them both so many times, and you could not tell them apart. And every time I see one of them walking down the road, I'd call in and check warrants on them. And I'd say, check 17S on the Johnny. And they'd be like, which one? I'm like, both of them. Because, hell, I didn't know which one it was. And one time, I called in, they called back and said, yeah, one of them had a warrant for whatever it was. Johnny and Johnny were physically fit, young, but they were dumb as a box of rocks. And I think almost to the mentally handicapped point, you couldn't even hardly understand them when they spoke either. Their intelligence was way on the low end of the scale. They had no jobs, but they weren't dope heads. They were just dummies. Anyway, so that day I was driving down. I saw one of them called in and one of them had warrants. I didn't know which one it was. So I swung back around on him. I said, hey, Johnny. He said, hey, what's going on? And I said, hey, man, come on. It's hot out here. Let me give you a ride. And so he gets in the backseat of the car. Well, I got out and Pat frisked him. And I said, I just, for officer safety, John, I got to make sure you're not carrying any bazookas or anything. And I put him in the backseat of the car. And I turned around from the opposite direction that he was walking in. And I took him to the jail. It took him like 10 minutes to realize we weren't going the way we were going. He's like, hey, where are you going? I said, we're going to jail. I got to check on something real quick. He's like, oh, okay. So I pull around the back of the jail and I take him in and I said, fingerprint this fucker and see which one he is. And just so happened he was the one that had the warrants. So I booked him in that night. But anyway, so 911 call, Johnny and Johnny. And Johnny and Johnny like to beat on their elderly mother. And I say elderly, she probably was in her 50s. And she was a character, I'll say, God bless her. And she would call the sheriff's office. They'd have beat on this and then did this. And you got to come get some out of my house. And so, I mean, we were always there. And every time you turn on that street, they would run. And they would run into the woods. So I already knew I was fucked. And so I go over there, and I got no units. John T. was way up north on a call. And the Springfield town unit, Terry Sanchez, who just made detective sergeant for the Hammond City Police Department last week, I think. So congratulations, Terry. Well deserved. And then Leon Winstead, who is my brother from another mother, who is AP4, Albany Police 4. And then Leon was a reserve or a part-time officer, and he didn't do it for the money. He was like a ship captain on the Mississippi River. So he had a lot of time off, but he did it because he loved police work. And this dude was a straight up great cop. The first night I ever went on duty on the east side of the parish, I was driving through Albany. He was out with a bad guy. And I mean, like I said, Leon's a little bit older. And this bad guy was a young, muscular dude. And boom, they are in a fist fight. And that's how I literally got to introduce myself to him, is by diving in their fist fight, and which that guy's brother ended up diving in that fist fight too. And that was another story for another day. But Leon, super, super cop. Terry's a great guy too, from Springfield. And Leon was like, 361, yeah, I'm going to come back you up. And Terry called from Springfield and said, 361, I'm going to come back you up. Because they knew it was going to be a shit show. It was going to be a foot pursuit or whatever. So we turn on the street. And sure enough, fucking Johnny and Johnny are bailing out the back window of their mama's house. And they hit the woods. And so I got pull up and I go to her. And she's like, he knocked me down. And she had her leg was bleeding. Evidently, they shoved her down into the coffee table or something. And I don't know which one of them did it. But she's like, you got to take them boys to jail. They were starting to foolish. And I said, yes, Ms. Gray. Okay, you know, we're going to get them, blah, blah, blah. So take the report, and we have to go after them, y'all. And I would like to let them go, but due to past experiences, I know if we didn't catch them, they were going to come back. And she was going to be calling all night long. So we're riding around looking for them because, like I said, it's kind of a rural hood. And it's just I'm not being racist. I'm the last person in the world that's racist, but I'm just describing to you. It's just an area, a kind of a widespread area where the black folk had settled between Albany and Springfield in a rural area. So they're on foot and they're running. And so we're cruising around looking for them. And dispatch calls, it says 361, got a report of the twins are breaking windows out of cars on such and such street. I'm like, fuckers. And so by the time we get to where the cars were, they're gone. Then I got to stop and take reports on these vehicles and get the vehicle identification number and make the reports for the victims. And it says now it's a time process, right? And before I can get done with the first three cars, 361, the twins are at such and such. They just busted it in somebody's front door. I'm like, fuck, here we go. So I'm having to leave them. And it was like leapfrog. I swear y'all, it went on for like 2 hours. So we split up. I'm going to call to call. The twins are going literally house to house and cutting through the woods to the next street. And they're just destroying everything like a tornado, fucking busting every window they can find, kicking in doors. I mean, just crazy. And so we are chasing them. My reports are stacking up by the second. And I hear by this time it's dark. Leon, AP4, called and said, 361, I got him over here at the intersection. And pull over, and I see Leon's car, but I don't see him. And then I look over on the ground, and Terry pulled up behind me, and I could see in the darkness some, like, movement. And I shine my light over there, and there are Johnny and Leon in a fist fight on the ground. And I'm like, shit, here we go. So I jump out and I run over and I dive in, right? And then Terry dives in and the fight's on again. Now it's 3-on-2. And the spray comes out and people getting sprayed and blows are traded. And finally, we were able to effect the arrest on one of them and then the second one. And then, you know, buys them of their rights and put them in the back of the cars. And I asked Leon, I said, what happened? And now we're all dirty and hot and sweaty, and we've been breathing the freeze plus pee, and your noses are running and everything. It's just been a shit day. And he said, man, you will never believe what happened. I said, what? He said, I pull up to the four-way, and I look over, and I see Johnny and Johnny, and they are fist fighting each other. He said, I shine my light over, and these dumbasses are in a fist fight with each other, and one of them put the other one in the headlock, and they went to the ground and started fighting. He said, and I went over there, and I figured, shit, I got to jump on one of them, because if they get up, we'd be chasing our ass all night long. So he went over and dove in the pile on them. Leon was and is a badass, and I will always have my respect. So we took them in and booked them, and it's late by this time. And then I went and parked my car in one of my little secret hiding spots, praying that things would calm down. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's a real rural country store, and it has a highway in front of it, which nobody goes down this time of night. There's nothing out there, but there's really nothing coming off this road on the side. So I would park there and I would try to catch up on reports and do whatever. And I'm praying that nothing else breaks off tonight. I mean, I'm mentally and physically exhausted. I've got like 100 reports to do. And so I'm parked in my little hiding spot, and some son of a bitch came. I could hear him before he got to me. They came down that road from the side of the store. It was a truck. And I'm like, what the fuck? And he passed me in the stop sign. I'm backed into the store. The stop. I can see the stop sign, and the major highways runs horizontally in front of me. The street's coming from the right-hand side. This son of a bitch came through and never checked up at the stop sign, and he jumped the main highway and disappeared on the other side. And I'm like, holy shit, I heard the crash. And I mean, it was like Evil Knievel style. I'm like, holy shit. And I'm like, 361-259, send medical, send rescue. I mean, I hadn't even seen him yet, but I knew it was going to be bad. Send medical and send rescue. They got a Sigma 20, which is an accident at such and such. And so I pull up on the highway and I turn on my lights and I put my spotlight down there. And this truck is demolished. It cleared. It must have been doing 50. And it was old, like a 1980s Toyota single cab pickup truck. And so I guess he was going as fast as he could go. And he just missed the stop sign and jumped that road and hit that telephone pole and T-boned it. And the driver was decapitated. All they had hanging was a little bit piece of skin. And then the passenger was dead. And there was one poor son of a bitch in the middle that the truck was smushed in. The son of a bitch in the middle was alive, but he was pinned in. And now remember, I'm in the middle of nowhere on purpose because I didn't want any more shit that night. And the dude that was pinned in was awake. And I go up on it. I'm looking at him. I'm like, you know, he's screaming. He's like, dude, you got to get me out. He's trying to get out, but he can't because his legs are pinned. Now his dead buddy's head's on him from the driver's side. And the other dude's obviously dead, the passenger. And he's there. He can get up to maybe his chest out of the passenger side window where I was. And I had to sit there and hold that dude and talk to him and try to calm him down. And he was, you know, pretty seriously injured also. But it was so far out there and there's no fire departments or anything like that. And it took like 30 minutes for the first responder to get to me. And then when they got to me, I'm holding him and this guy's just been begging and crying, please get me out of, please get out of, and his head's on me. And I mean, just total shock. And so I'm standing there holding him all this time and it's hotter than hell. And, you know, just a horrible scene. But what made it even worse was the rescue teams that responded didn't have the capability to get the guy out of the truck. We had to wait for somebody to come. I think it might have been Dennis Springs. I don't know. It was a long, he was pinned there for the longest time and he would beg me, please don't leave me. Please don't leave me. So I stood there and held that dude for probably well over an hour until they were able to get there with the jaws of life and cut him out. So anyway, duty on the 4th of July was always fucked up. And I mean, you knew it was going to be a wild ride, and especially those long weekends. So much mad respect and love for everybody out there this 4th of July, 10-8 and on duty. Stay safe and watch your six. I thank y'all and I hope you enjoyed this. I know it's a little bit different episode than what we would normally do from the murders and all that. But sometimes I like to tell the real crime part and the real life part of being a cop. And so I hope you enjoyed duty on the 4th. And I hope y'all have a safe and happy 4th of July with your families, all you lifers out there. I love and appreciate each and every one of you. And until next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on Murder by You.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
Is at your door. Save big money on everything at Menards. Keep your guns, ammunition, and valuables secure with Sports Appeal Gun Safes. We have multiple sizes available to fit your needs. The spacious interiors are fully carpeted to protect against scratches and include adjustable side shelves to suit your storage needs. Save big on Sports Appeal at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.